rest of us will be 1 Chronicles chapter 4. As we begin, I think we're continuing our thought from last week, but really a new study, a different look at what we're talking about and what we're doing as believers and what God is doing as our Lord. And it's His kingdom, so we kind of go along with His plan, right? Hello? All right. Y'all check in. It's time to get real here with the word and get into a prayer that I want to talk. I think we've talked about this prayer in the past several years ago, but I think it's good to go through it again. But I want to maybe take a different view or a different perspective on it so that we can continue to grow and continue to ask God to help us in what we do here as disciple makers and as servants of our Lord. Last week we talked about being committed, being all in, right? Being those who say we believe that Jesus is the Christ, being those who are, no matter what, we are going to be servants of our Lord. And we ask God's help for that because we know that it's a struggle, right? Jabez, if you haven't heard of Jabez, he is someone we can find in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, as we read through the genealogies and sometimes try to stay awake reading through the genealogies that you read there, and you sit there and you read it and you read it and you're like, why is this important? Why do I need to know this? And what's going on with all of that? And then right smack in the middle of it, in verse 9 of chapter 4, in verse 10 also, we see suddenly talks about Jabez. Talks about this prayer that he says. Notice it only takes two verses to record this prayer. Let me just read verses 9 and 10 aloud, and we'll go from there. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Pretty simple piece of scripture. Pretty simple snapshot of a prayer of a man who heard about God, who knew God, and had known the ways of God, and just simply cried out to God. Right? So why am I talking about Jabez and his prayer this morning? Because I personally believe, and I think scripture, all throughout scripture, we can find some things that would agree that if we're going to be faithful, all-in Christians, believers, if we're going to be 100% in, we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people who consistently and regularly talk to God. And I don't mean just praying over a meal or saying our bedtime prayers, or I don't even mean so much as simply praying over the prayer list that we have here at the church, however that is part of it. I'm saying we need to be those who are in tune with the Spirit of God, which lives in the believer, and constantly discussing life with Him. Constantly seeking His direction, seeking His truth, the application of His truth, seeking the Lord for all things. So we're going to break this down, believe it or not, over the next few weeks, this short prayer, so that we might be able to take a deep look at it and ask God to help us apply this prayer attitude to our own lives, and if it's already applied, then He would continue to apply it, and we would grow in it, right? Because we need to be powerful people in this world if we're going to make disciples. And that doesn't seem possible when you say just powerful people. Maybe we should say we need to be powerful people in Christ in this world. Because that's really where the power comes from, isn't it? That's really where we draw strength. That's really where we find anything about ourselves that has any value to offer the world. Right? In Christ. A lot of times, over the last week or two, people have been on social media posting these 10-year pictures. You know, some people are posting the picture of what they look like 10 years ago and what they look like now. And I ended up putting a picture of me and my wife on there 10 years ago and 10 years from now, just like last year it was, I think it was, I don't remember. It's not that much of a difference. A little bit of gray coming on, but other than that, living in a different place, in a different world, different challenges, but we're the same people. The question that came to my mind when I put that on our social media page was, what have I been doing for those 10 years? If the Lord would sit me down and say, let's go over the last 10 years of your life, how would that go? Right? Now, I've been preaching for that 10 years, so I'm fairly confident that it wouldn't be all bad. However, are there times when maybe I wasn't as active, or maybe I wasn't involved, or maybe I wasn't in tune with the Lord as maybe I could have been, or even should have been, or that God would have wanted me to be? Right? And I think it all has to do with developing a habit of acknowledging God's existence in your life. Acknowledging His desire to live in you. How much does God desire to live in you? Enough to He would send Jesus to die the way that He died on the cross. That's how badly God wants to live in you. That's how much God loves you and me. That's the degree that God wants us to have this relationship with Him. And I don't know about you, but every relationship that I've ever been a part of in this world involves interaction and conversation, communication, acknowledgement of each other in positive ways, right? And if we're going to be disciple makers, if we're going to be all-in Christians, disciple makers, then we need to be all-in when it comes to communicating with God, when it comes to our prayer life. So today we're going to look at just the first part of his prayer where he says, oh, that you would bless me. I think I might have already had that. Yeah, he says, oh, that you would bless me. Now, there's a lot of people still today, and some in the past have speculated or commented or thought about and studied this, and they come to a conclusion that this prayer is not as powerful as one might conclude that it is, because it's a very selfish, prideful type prayer. That's their conclusion. I disagree with that. I disagree with this conclusion and this thought that this is a selfish prayer, so therefore it is not a good prayer, simply because at the end of these verses, it says God granted his request. And if it was a prideful and selfish prayer on Jabez's part, then I don't believe that God would exercise his favor in that. It's just not the way our Lord works. Now, if we look at Scripture all throughout the New Testament that tells us, where Jesus taught, if you ask for anything in my name, then I'll make it happen. Or ask and you shall receive, things like that. It tells me that as long as we're talking to God about the things that are in God's will, then we can know for sure, we can have confidence that God's response will be favorable. Wouldn't you all agree with that? I mean, if you talk to God about things that are in His will, then how can you fail in your prayer life? How can you be disappointed with your prayer life? Right? And we've, you know, how many times have you gone to God about something that you probably don't need or probably it's just a want, and it's not something that's useful for your witness. And God's saying no. God said no to me a bunch of times in prayer about important things and silly things, because it's not His will. It's not what He wants. It's not what He's doing. It's not about His business. In fact, sometimes we could be in prayer and it would be against His will. Maybe even unintentionally. Look at Peter. Peter's talking to Jesus himself, and he's like, look, no person in this world is going to come and attack you without coming through me first. And that seems like a genuine, legitimate thing a person would say if they love someone. And of course, then Jesus kind of smacks him down a bit and says, get behind me, Satan. Because he's talking against God's will. We have to think about that when we're talking to God about everything. Jabez is asking for God to bless me. He says, oh, that you would bless me. Raise your hand if you want to be blessed. Everybody in the room wants to be blessed. So why won't we ask God? Like, hey, God, bless me, God. Sometimes our prayer, like if you, I don't know how many times, every church that I've been a part of and even heard of, there's always a handful of people in the church that says, oh, I got this going on in my life, but don't put it on a prayer sheet or nothing. Because they don't want to be selfish. They don't want it to be about them because they know it's really about everybody else. But Jabez is saying, oh, that you would bless me, God. Oh, I wish you would bless me. Now, we all just raised our hand and said, I want to be blessed. So why not go and say to God, hey, God, I want to be blessed. The question is what kind of blessing are we asking God for? What does it mean to be blessed in your heart and in your mind? Because for some people, being blessed means I don't have any problems, all my bills are paid, and all the things that are on my want list are there. No stress, everything's cake and ice cream. That is not what Jabez is talking about. That is not what God would have us desire in our hearts. From childhood, Jabez was taught about Abraham. He was taught about the history of the Israelites. He was taught about the promise that Abraham received from God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, and we can see the promise that God made to Abraham. Right here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. When Jabez is crying out to God, this is what he's asking for. Oh, that you would bless me the way you've blessed Abraham. Let's think about that. Because I think all of us at some point would sit back and look at that and say, dare I say to God that you would bless me like you blessed Abraham? Because we look in Hebrews chapter 11 and we see Abraham's name in there quite a bit when it comes to the great faithful ones who trusted God. Right? And we oftentimes are saying to ourselves in a way to try to stay humble, saying, well, I'm not Jesus and I'm not Abraham and I'm not Isaac. I'm not any of those guys. I'm just a dude standing here on the mountain preaching the gospel. Nobody really even knows me, but I'm fine with that as long as God uses me, right? And I don't think that's out of line. I think that sometimes in our effort to be humble, we're fearful about being great for God. Unintentionally. But Jabez, he stands out and he's like, look, if God would say to Abraham that he's going to make him great and make him a blessing, then why wouldn't he do the same for me? It's the same God. Right? God doesn't love you any more than he loves the person sitting next to you. He doesn't love you any more or less than he loved Abraham or Jabez or anybody else you can find throughout the history of mankind. And God wants from you the same things that he wanted from them. He wants your faithfulness. He wants your trust. He wants your love. He wants to look at you and me, all of us, and say to Satan, have you considered my servant? And then insert your name. And in order to pass that test, in order to be the Jobs of this world, we have to be blessed by God. We have to cry out and say, oh, that you would bless me, God. That you would make me what you want me to be. Let's break this down just a little bit. This blessing that God promised to Abraham. He promised to make his name great, and he promised to make him a blessing. Now, I don't know if this is a normal thing for people in general, Christians in general, but I can speak to you about preachers and the struggles that sometimes preachers sometimes secretly have. We all want to preach the gospel. We all want to reach people for Christ. We want the sinner to be saved. We want our messages and our service to God and the people to be effective in such a way that people would get saved and God would be glorified. And we want to reach as many people as we can in the time that God gives us. I'm just going to go out there and speak for all the preachers in the world. We come out in the early years of our preaching thinking we're going to preach to the whole world and the whole world is going to get saved. Which is totally ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Because that's not what... Otherwise, if that was the case, if that's what would happen, then God would call one man to preach and nobody else. But he doesn't do that. He calls many, many to preach. So that many, many could reach many, many more. Yeah. And once God puts us in perspective, puts our minds and our hearts in the right perspective, then it's about, am I preaching the word the way God would have me preach the word? Am I being a witness? Am I serving God? I think when we all had to go to live stream a couple years ago, forced really to go into live stream, I think it caused us all to come out of our closets a little bit. For the most part, all of us preachers, we're not trying to be famous preachers. But there's part of us that wants a lot of people to hear us preach. Because the more people that hear the message, the more people that might get saved. And it's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle for the preacher to say, okay, why do you want to be heard? Why do you want so many people to hear what you're saying? Is it because you want to be well known and be a great man who preaches great sermons? Or is it because you want to be great for God and His kingdom? If we could preach our sermons and nobody would know who we were, maybe that would work better. Yeah? It's not just preachers, y'all. It's all of us. All of us believers. Why would you want to be great? Why would you want God to make you into a great name? And what does that even mean? When he says to Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. He's not lifting Abraham up to the world to say, hey, look at this awesome dude right here. No, Abraham was just as bad as the rest of us. But he believed God. And he was faithful to interacting with God. He followed God. And he trusted God. And when God made a promise that he would make his name great, it was for the sake of bringing glory to God. Whenever you think about Abraham, you think of God. Whenever you read about Abraham, you're reading about what God has done and what the Father does and how faithful God's promises are. Ultimately, looking into the greatest story of all time, bringing a Savior into the world through the bloodline of Abraham. And it has nothing to do with Abraham being better than anybody else. It has to do with Abraham positioning himself to be made into a great man of God. Isn't that seem simple? And this is what Jabez is saying. Hey, that you would bless me like that. I just want to make disciples, God. Not so that I can be a great disciple maker, but so that people can get saved. People can know you and that you would be glorified. That when people say my name, they would think of you and your kingdom. That's how I want you to bless me. That's how I want you to bless the people of our church, God. The problem with striving to stay humble is sometimes we are hindering our witness because we feel like we're promoting ourselves in such a way and that would be wrong, and not realizing that maybe God is trying to push us into the light for a moment so that someone might see him. Yeah? So when he says, make me great, Lord. Make my name great. Oh, that you would bless me. The promise also says that God would make Abraham a blessing. Make him a blessing. Think about all the people in your life that influenced you spiritually. All the people as you grew up that were godly people that you looked at them along the way and you were like, man, man, I want to be like that guy or that lady or that family. Whatever it is they do, however they get there, that's what I want. That's how I want to be. I got to tell you, I look at Scripture and I read about these people in the Bible and I'm just like, man, I want to be like Peter. That's what I want to do. I mean, I don't want to be in trouble like Peter was all the time, but that comes with it, doesn't it? It comes with it. Peter oftentimes ran his mouth and then engaged his brain. But man, God used him powerfully for the church. All of us, every single one of us, are saved today in part because of Peter and the great man that God made him to be. And sometimes we disconnect ourselves with the things that happened in the beginning of the church in those days with now and what's going on in the kingdom of God now. It's not a movie that happened years ago and is no longer relevant. We're continuing what is going on in Acts chapter 1. The baton has been handed to me and you. And we can't go back to last week and say to God, I want to be all in. I'm all in. I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to live this year all in for God without praying like this. Without saying, God, I want you to bless me. So that you can be great in the eyes of this world. So that you can be seen in this dark place. And give me strength to stay humble when you say yes to me. And show me what you can do. Because we really want to be a blessing, don't we? Don't you want to be a blessing in this world? Who wants to live their entire life in this world and then not exist anymore, leave this world, and nobody remembers anything about who you were or what you did or what you were about? There are people that leave this world every day and nobody notices. They don't even make a bad impression. They just exist. And they go through the motions of living in the way the world says we should live. You should be a child, and you should have fun, and then you should learn how to be an adult, and then you need to get a job, and you need to pay bills, and then you pay the bills, and you raise your kids, and then you let them have grandkids, and then you fade off into the wilderness and be dead. If the believer is doing that and never making an impact in this world for Christ, we've failed. We've missed it. We've missed the opportunity. All those things we're doing, it's not wrong to live in those ways and do those things. That's the way life is. But it's for Jesus that we live. It's for God that we learn how to be an adult. It's to praise the Lord that we get a job and raise families and teach our children how to pray and how to serve God and how to ask God for these kinds of blessings. How to be a blessing. It's for God that we watch our grandchildren grow up and allow our children to be parents, just waiting in the background to help if there's need to be helped. But otherwise, we just stand there and be blessed by the grandchildren. Oh, that He would bless me. Sometimes I think it reflects on our, how big is your God? How big is God to you? Right? Because if I say to myself as a preacher, Lord, I'm grateful for the church that you've assigned me to preach and serve with. It's such a blessing. It really is such a blessing to be here with you serving the Lord. I could go on days and days and talk about the many different blessings that come from just being part of this group of believers. I sit back and say, that's enough, Lord, I'm satisfied. It's as if I don't think God can do more. It's as if I don't want God to do more. You know, if I get around other believers or other preachers and say, I'm satisfied. I don't have to have thousands of people. I don't have to have hundreds of people. I don't even have to have one more person because I'm trying to be humble. But the reality is, I want one more person to come into this church and know God and serve with us. The reality is, I want everybody in this community to come into this church and know God and serve with us. That's what I want. That's what my desire is. But not for me to be a great preacher or for you to be a great church. It's so that God would be glorified here. And that powerful things will happen in our lives. I don't know. Every time I get involved with mission work and go on to the mission field in different parts of the world, almost every time I'm starting to learn not to do this, but every time I go in there thinking I'm going to be a blessing to someone else because someone is in need. Without fail, every time I come back humbled and realizing that God sent me there to get me in line. To show me who He is. And at the same time, He used me to be a blessing to them. He's saying, oh that you would bless me, God. Make me a great disciple maker. Make me somebody in this world for you and only for you. And at the same time, keep me humble, knowing that it is for you and it's only for you. It's not out of line. In fact, it's what God wants from us. Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered this guy whom I love and I know will be faithful? This great man of God, have you considered him? Because the challenge was, Satan said, he only worships you because you give him everything. You bless him. I would worship you too, but you don't. Sometimes we've got to come into this church and worship God regardless of how we feel or what we think or what the answered prayers are or not. When we went for my son's funeral, we got there, I think it was Friday, Sunday morning, we went to church. And I'm not telling you this to brag about myself, but I didn't know where else to be. But at church on Sunday morning, where would I be if not in the presence of my Lord? We can't just be mountaintop Christians. We got to be all in, y'all. We got to be serving God all the time. I want to be great all the time. I want God to be glorified all the time. I want Oak Grove Christian Church to be a great witness. I'm asking God to lift us up so that His light will shine in this neighborhood. And that when the world responds to that, we point to God and say, it's God. It's God doing it all. We're like this because of God. Because He answered our prayer that we would be great. That we would be blessed. That He would make a great name out of Oak Grove Christian Church. That He would make a great name out of you and your family and your home. That your neighbors would look at you in your house and say, in that house right over there are some people that love God. And when their world falls apart and they go running for God somewhere, you're the first place they go. Because you're a great disciple-making man. That's what Jabez is asking for. Jabez is just saying, hey, did you just bless me, God, bless me. Everybody everybody who's ever stood up and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ and I want to be saved. I don't want to be an enemy of God anymore. I'm willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. You've asked to be great in that moment. That's what you've asked for. Because once you get saved, you step into Christ. You come into Christ and Jesus, His Holy Spirit living in you, you can't help but be great. But it's God's greatness. It's His righteousness. It's His holiness that's living in us. How do we hold that back? Right? And I know that we, in general, we're kind of conservative people, you know. We don't want to get excited too much because people might think we're crazy. People might think we're out there. But I got to tell you, I'd rather people think I'm crazy and out there than for people to think that I don't know God. You look in the book of Acts. You look at them original, the guys, the apostles. They were out there preaching the gospel. They were excited about what the Lord was doing. They were being made great people in Christ, and everybody accused them of being drunk. I said, ah, they're drunk. They're talking foolishness. There ain't no way. I'm just saying. Here's what we can learn in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 25. A dispute among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest, Jesus said to them. Okay, so they were fighting over who's going to be the greatest disciple, who's going to be the right and the left, and all of that silliness. Here's what it says in verse 25 to 27. It says, The kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? And this is Jesus teaching. He says, but I am among you as one who serves. You want to be great? You want God to bless you? Then you're asking God to make you a servant. Remember last week, the point was, this is not our home. We don't belong here. We're not of the world. And if our goal in anything in life, especially becoming a Christian and making disciples, is to be great in the world, then you will have what your heart desires, and that'll be all you have, because your reward has been obtained. But let me tell you something, for the believer who's genuine and 100% sold out, asking God genuinely to bless me, your reward is eternal. Isn't that great? We sang years before, even before I was a believer, people would sing in the Sunday school classes, teach the little kids to let your light shine, and things like that. And we would have little flashlights or little whatevers, and we'd kind of symbolize going into the dark world and being a light for Christ. But somehow or another, along the way, sometimes the believers get in this habit of trying to be so humble that we're not showing the light. We want people to look at us. We want people to see what God is doing in our lives. We want people to see how great God is through our lives. That we would ask God to bless us in this way. To make us great. To make us be a blessing. Oh, that you would bless me. Really, the blessing is that Abraham received, that was promised by God, is that the blessing really is that Abraham became valuable in the kingdom. Everybody wants to be valuable or valued, right? I think to some degree, we all have this desire to be important somewhere. And most people have a desire to be a part of something big. Something great. I don't know if there's anything greater. Let me rephrase it. I'm positive there's nothing greater than the kingdom of God. good thing is the door is open for anybody and everybody who wants to become part of the greatest thing ever in existence. The door's open to become a part of it. Not only just sit in the corner and ride along and say, I'm part of it. No, to be a great part of it. So that generation after generation, your family and your church family will talk about you and your witness. Every congregation that's been around long enough have people who've come and gone who were valuable instruments that God used for the service of that church. And you talk, I hear it all the time. We sit and talk about the ones that have passed on and gone to be with the Lord. And we say, if it wasn't for this or that, and they did so many good things here, and God was glorified here, and people got saved because of that preacher or that elder or that servant. And many times it's some of the people that don't do anything but behind the scenes stuff. What we call behind the scenes stuff. But they were great because God made them great. You're great. My question is, are you asking God to make you great? Because if you're not asking God to make you great, even as great as you already are, your potential is limited. Because you haven't asked God to open the floodgates and see what He can do with you. Look around the room right now. This is the way it is every weekend, isn't it? And it's true in every church. Right? It could be more. As great as it is, it could be more. People come into this church right here, this congregation, and ever since I've been here, I've heard, we love coming to church, we visit, and everybody's great, God is awesome, I meet the Lord, everything seems genuine, there's no complaints. That's what I'm hearing. That's the report card. I call that an A for y'all. Maybe a B+. If we ask God to bless us this year, say, God, bless Oak Grove in this way. Make us a great congregation. Make us great disciple makers. Make us great for you. Can you imagine what would happen in here every week, every weekend? Can you imagine what God would do? We're talking about God, the Creator, our Lord. There's nothing stopping Him from opening up the floodgates of people that would come in here and know Him, except for our desire for that. Some of y'all say, well, I desire that. We all desire that. We do. But are we asking God in prayer? Are we going to God, not just one time, every time, every day? I think it would be a powerful thing for us to get up in the morning and the very first thing ever that we talk about with God is this. That He would make us great. Not us as a church first, but you. And then your family first. That God, I'm going to get up this morning and I just want You to make me great today. I want You to bless me today. I want You to make me such a great man in Christ today that I am a blessing. Sometimes we roll over and we're just in that place and we get up and we're already full speed, top gear into the worries of the day. And that's where we start talking to God. Lord, I hope this day ain't like yesterday. Right? Or we already went to bed thinking about all the things that have to be done. So we get up and we're already behind schedule. Lord, help me brush my teeth a little faster than I did yesterday because I got things to do here. Right? Or maybe there was a problem yesterday that's going to continue into the day and you're already asking God about that. I'm not saying don't talk to God about those things. If we're sold out to being Christian people, disciple makers, genuine 100% in with God, then it has to be about His business first. And I don't want to be a mediocre servant for God. I hope you don't. I want to be the greatest servant that he wants me to be, that he can make me to be. And then God help me. God help me stay humble in that. Right? Because once God does some great things in your life and the witness becomes strong in your life and people start getting saved, people start seeing God, guess who else is noticing? Guess what else is happening? Because Satan doesn't want that happening in your house, in your community. And just like Adam and Eve, he'll come up and say, well, surely God didn't say it that way. Surely you can take a little bit of this greatness for yourself, right? Because, I mean, after all, you're a good person. You're pretty cool. You're nice, right? I mean, you're the one that put in all the work. You're the one that made the cake and took it to the family down the street who just lost their loved one. You're the one that hugged them and cried with them. God didn't do that. You did that. That's what Satan says. And then suddenly we start thinking, man, I'm pretty good Christian. I'm pretty good at this Christian stuff. And once that happens, your fall from greatness will be tragic in the eyes of God. So this is why Jabez is saying, oh, that you would bless me. I don't know about you all, but I want to matter when it comes to the kingdom of God. I don't want to just be another person that got saved and that's it. Because if I got saved and then that's it, then it makes Jesus and his work on the cross just about me. And that we know that ain't true. It should be, I get to be a servant of the King. I get to be a servant of the kingdom of God. I get to be involved in this great thing. And I get to be saved. And I get to be part of his family. It's awesome. You should come with me and you should do this too. The two things that people get excited about in life that I've realized is roller coasters and gas prices. You get on a roller coaster and you have the greatest time of your life and you spend the next month saying, hey, did you ride this thing? You got to go get on this thing. And you ride it 1,500 times and you take all your friends back and forth, spend all this money. Or you drive by the gas station and you notice it's up 5 cents. And then all of a sudden you're calling all your friends, hey, gas is up 5 cents. Go cheap over here, though. Come over. We're talking about all the things we get excited about, but we're never talking about Jesus like that. Because we haven't asked God to make us great. We haven't asked God to move us to the next level when it comes to serving him. And be careful that we don't think we made it. I asked God to make me great and he did it. It's awesome. No. God is making me great for him. It's a process. I'm continuously being better and better. Some people exist. They live and they die. There was an illustration. I'll finish up with this. There was an illustration that was given one time. It said a man was born, he lived, he died. He didn't do anything special for God or for anything else. He just existed. And when they tried to cash in on the life insurance company said, well, we can't even really tell that he lived, so he couldn't have died, so we're not paying him. It's not a true story. It's an illustration. Y'all are sitting like, what? How can it? No. But think about it. Think about it. There are strings attached. People think there's no strings attached to salvation, but there are. If you believe, you will live like this Bible says. You don't get to just receive salvation and then sit back and not participate. Because once we're saved, once we have the Spirit of God, our desires begin to change. And the desire to be blessed is there. The blessing of Abraham is that God would make his life a blazing light for the whole world to see. Is that your desire? Is that what you ask God for every day? Have you asked God for that? When's the last time you talked to God about that? Have you ever thought about asking God? Last week I talked about challenges for 2022. And I think as long as we're we're challenging ourselves, not only to be genuine and 100% in, but let's challenge ourselves to be great. Not to be great in our own strength, but to ask God to be blessed like this. It's my prayer, my challenge to you is to join me in daily two things. One, ask God to bless you and your home in this way. And two, ask God to bless our church in this way. This congregation. The congregation that God called you to serve with. Right? Because if I'm successful because God has answered my prayers in being blessed, then my wife will be successful in answering. He'll answer those same prayers for her. And then our home will be successful. And then we come in here and participate as church members, as believers together, as a family, and we contribute to the success of being great as a church. And God has his way. And I'm not promising you, the Word of God promises you that people will see God when we do these things. And if we focus on those things, we will stop counting chairs. And we'll start looking for opportunities to be great people for God. Isn't that great? I love you and the Lord loves you. If you don't know God, now's the time. Right now. Because if we're lost in sin, we're not great. In fact, we're an enemy of God. But Jesus died on the cross, and his death, burial, and resurrection gives us opportunity to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I'm going to stop being an enemy of this God. And I'm going to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, just like God instructed us to do. And after that, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God begins to make us great people. Powerful people in Christ. Y'all ready to sing? Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you have a decision to make, please come and do so. Let's stand.